This is Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. In an age before the internet and in an environment that in some ways promoted isolation and disconnection, African Americans in Kansas City in the early 20th century still found ways to find connection and community. Churches and social clubs have been called the glue that held the black community together alongside families and schools. And a new exhibit at the Black Archives of Mid-America chronicles some of that important history. Michael Sweeney is collection librarian at the archives, and he joins us this morning to talk about the Celebrating Fellowship exhibit and the history that it details. Welcome to you, Michael.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate being here and talking a little bit about the Black Archives and the great stuff we have going on down there.
Well, let's talk about the Black Archives. I think a lot of listeners may not be familiar with the entire project. What are the Black Archives in Mid-America?
The Black Archives was organized 40 years ago, founded by Horace M. Peterson III, for the purpose of collecting and preserving and then making accessible the records of African Americans here in the Kansas City area, but then also in the surrounding region. So this would include textual stuff, minute meetings, photographs, artifacts, various things that were falling by the wayside when he founded the organization back in 1974. And he took it upon himself to start collecting those things, and the organization that he founded is still going strong now 40 years later.
And so most of these are filling file cabinets and storage boxes, but you can draw on them to put together exhibits like the one we're talking about today.
Certainly. I mean, it's one of many ways that we serve the public. We, of course, have researchers who come in and use the items, but not everyone's interested in reading the letters or going through the big boxes of photographs. And this provides one way to show the vast holdings of the organization in different ways. And we use these special exhibits to take pieces of the holdings out and have them on display and hopefully tell the community, part of the important story of the very vibrant and strong community of African Americans in Kansas City.
Now, where in town are the Black Archives?
We're down at right at the Parade Parks. We're at 17th East 17th Terrace, 1722 East 17th Terrace.
Just off 18th and Vine.
You bet. Just half a block south.
And folks can go. We'll post some of this information on our website, but give us very quickly the hours that these public exhibits are open.
For the public, the building is open Tuesday through Thursday, 10 to 4. But we also, can do things by appointment. We generally have tour groups that'll schedule and, with those limited hours, I'm happy to come in on any Monday or Friday just because I love taking people through and making sure people get to see the great exhibits we have going on down there.
Well, great. Let's talk about that exhibit that we mentioned, the Celebrating Fellowship exhibit. It talks about a specific period in Kansas City's history, the early 20th century. Thriving years for the city of Kansas City. What was the situation for African Americans during that period?
Oh, this was a very major time. Particularly it was the heyday of the 18th and Vine area, and the exhibit we have, is pulling from actually not just that early 20th century, but well into the mid century. We've got more than 50 items that are on display. Kind of half of them dealing with the churches, half of them dealing with clubs of various sorts, so the Greek organizations, fraternal orders, the social clubs. And what all of these organizations do, and you use the word glue, and it's a word that we like to use, is really hold the community together. On one hand, these organizations are agents of continuity, they're agents of stability and identity. For example, some of the fraternal orders, when let's say a member died, the order would step up and help the family pay for funeral costs and things like that. But they're also agents of social change as well. It's the clubs where the conversations are happening about, community events, community issues, public problems. We recently got a donation from Dr. Julia Hill, former school board member. And one of the clippings in the scrapbooks talks about a 1958 meeting where she was at with her social club, the PMs, where the members were talking about the segregation and the discrimination they were experiencing in downtown Kansas City. And that's what galvanized, her to become an activist. So that's, it kind of goes both ways as being both a source of continuity and a source of social change.
I think we are familiar with the heyday of 18th and Vine and the entertainment that took place there. I think people think a lot less about the roots of empowerment that were being planted in places like churches. Churches were very important, weren't they?
Right. And of course, the leaders, those churches were not just leaders of their congregation. They were leaders in the community. James Wesley Hurst, Reverend Hurst, over at founder of St. Stephen, was very much involved in, not just preaching the gospel, but encouraging African Americans to support black-owned businesses, to support home ownership. Reverend D.A. Holmes over at Paseo Baptist Church, was in the 1930s very vocally challenging police brutality. His service to the school improvement Association was what enabled the new Lincoln High School that's now currently up on Woodland to be built.
What do you think are some of the most significant items on display in this exhibit?
Oh, there's some. There's a lot of fantastic stuff. You know, just to give you sort of a brief set of things. The oldest item on display is an 1897 offering envelope from Mount Zion Baptist Church up in Liberty, Missouri. Again, we primarily, you know, document Kansas City, but we also hit a few of the surrounding areas as well. There's a fantastic Christmas card
Was there anything in the offering envelope?
Nothing in the offering envelope.
All right.
But we've got this great Christmas card from Reverend John Williams to his congregants at St. Stephen's. A Women's Day program from Ebenezer AME Church, which I understand had a very active female leadership and was very welcoming of female leaders in the church. Mm-hmm. Also, we have a sampling of photographs from our Washington photograph collection that sort of showcase the variety of religious experience in Kansas City. I might mention the Washington photograph collection is out of sight. It's 800 different prints documenting African-American life in Kansas City in the 1950s up to about 1962. And this is just a few of those images that are dealing with religious subjects. So a number of the churches that I don't have textual things for, so Old Jameson Temple, Highland Avenue Baptist Church, and a few other activities of, for example, women in their religious robes, Sunday school groups. On the social club side, though, we've got some great hazing paddles from some of the Greek organizations.
Hazing paddles?
Yes. So the, you know, these were used you know, for initiation of new members. And we have hazing paddles for Alpha Kappa Alpha and Phi Beta Sigma.
So this seems to reflect an earlier time in the life of Greek organizations as well as the African-American community.
A little bit. Yes, definitely. We have some membership materials from the Paseo YMCA. Some photographs of some of the early social clubs, the Inner City Dames, which is Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas Club, Cosmopolitan Club, but then also some of the more recent ones that are still active. So the Twin Cityan Social Club, which was founded in 1943, the Zodiac Bike Club. Finally, we also have some regalia from some of the fraternal orders, you know, fez and collar and a Masonic sword. Really, it's trying to showcase the variety of materials that we have available here at the Black Archives.
I'm curious, I mean, as you've been around and groups and individuals have come to see some of these items, what's their reaction like? What impact is this having on the community as it comes to look at these items?
Yeah, I'm finding there's sort of two different audiences of sorts. On the one hand, you know, young people, people who are not from Kansas City, you know, this provides an introduction to really just how vibrant the African-American community was, you know, throughout not just the 20th century, but into, you know, to the late 19th century. And that, you know, and that sort of vibrancy continues. It introduces the diversity of experiences. We mm-hmm. tend to think primarily of sort of Baptist and AME churches because they were dominant. But this shows, you know, some of the other churches as well, the variety of social clubs. I think for that audience, it's really a consciousness raising thing and hopefully is an impetus to, you know, look more. On the other hand, for people who did grow up here in Kansas City and who lived through many of these things, it's about remembering things. It's stepping in and reflecting on the people, places, and events that shaped their lives. For example, this happens with a lot of our exhibits. I had a woman come in, and one of our early exhibits was kind of showing just sort of the breadth of our collections. But she stepped in, she was looking at one of the pictures of Second Baptist Church. She goes, "Oh my gosh, you know, that's my great-grandmother." And wow. She goes a little bit further to one of the social clubs. She goes, "Oh, that's my aunt." She gets over to a little hospital display, and there's a picture of Dr. John Perry outside of Wheatley Provident Hospital. She goes, "Oh, my gosh, Dr. Perry. My mother cleaned Dr. Perry's house. He delivered me from that hospital." You know, and it's moments like that that, you know, allow me to, you know, explain that, you know, what we do with Black Archives is kind of maintain and protect community memory. But outside of the personal stories of those individual community members, there's not community memory. So this provides an opportunity for people to see, you know, your individual lives are what make up the fabric of this community. And so it's a great opportunity to remind people just really how important those individual stories are.
Are there images or words as part of this exhibit that are shocking or bracing to a modern observer? Are there things that we just don't see anymore, and for better or worse?
You know, I guess my answer to that would be no. And largely, you know, that's primarily, you know, you see those, you know, sort of abrasive things at places of friction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of what you're seeing here, you know, are social clubs and churches that were in the African-American community. So there's not necessarily that sort of, you know, abrasive running up into segregation because this is within the community. So there's not necessarily those images, but there are images that I think need to be, we need to be reminded of. One of my professors, you know, would talk about, you know, you know, segregation, of course, was, you know, violent, deadly, had awful consequences. But at the same time, there was communities that were strong, that were loving, that were supportive. And you don't want those images to go away. And you want those images to be that part of the story.
The Black Archives of Mid-America have a staff of one, right?
Right now, I am the archival
staff.
Yes.
Yes. Is that the plan for the future, or are there plans underway to do even more there?
You know, we are always looking for ways to expand, and you know, we have a very fantastic active board and very supportive, and you know, they're doing what they can to sort of, you know, expand the knowledge about the organization, about what it's doing. You know, my role right now is very much to get the collection sort of up and in order, and you know, kind of professionalize our services to the surrounding community. I think we are going to expand soon. I've told the board. I said by this time next year, I want so many people coming through the door, they absolutely have to have someone else. And I think that's going to be the case because we are growing and more people are learning about it, and that's really exciting.
Is there one thing that that you hope folks who visit the archives come away with?
I hope that. You know, I've mentioned this word vibrant over and over again. It's the adjective that I would most use to describe, you know, the area where the Black Archive sits. This was a very vibrant community. And the African American community is still, you know, thriving and is involved. And people need to make that just part of their consciousness when they're thinking about Kansas City. It needs to just be part of the working knowledge of the city. And I want to, you know, not just African Americans, but I want the entire city to know about that and recognize, you know, those institutions and those organizations and the individuals who are involved in them as part of the fabric of this entire community that makes it such a great place to live.
Michael Sweeney is the collection librarian for the Black Archives of Mid-America. The exhibit's up till April 10th. Is that
yep.
right?
Yep. Please come and see me.
Michael, thanks so much for being here.
All right.
When we come back, we will be joined by the new host of Central Standard, Gina Kaufman. She starts on Monday, but first, she'll have to get through the gauntlet of questions we're going to ask her, including questions that have come in this week from our listeners over the airwaves and social media. It's not too late, by the way, to tweet your questions with the hashtag TellKCUR or post them on the KCUR Facebook page. Find out about Gina and about her hopes and dreams for this hour of radio right after a break. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.